One more announcement about the supper that we forgot to mention earlier in the service. But to raise money for the playground outside, we're going to be holding a raffle for a beautiful farm table. I think it's 6 feet long. Justin Brown has constructed it. And you can see pictures on Facebook or on our church Facebook page. And the raffle tickets are $5 a piece or 5 for $20. And you don't have to wait until the supper to buy them, but I wanted to make you aware of that. It looks really good, and it's for a good cause. All the proceeds will go to raise money to keep the playground up to date and looking good and all those things. Last week I was talking about, you know, signs that you're getting older when, and another sign you're getting older, I didn't see this online, but I've experienced this, is when you get older, you start to share all of your, like, you know, too much information about all of your health issues. Like, it just comes out in conversation. You know, I had this examined and this was done. And I'm not trying to get into that. I don't want to be like that, but when I had my kidney stone a couple months ago, they did a CAT scan and found another one that was waiting in the wings. And it decided, I call him Rocky the sequel. And he decided that yesterday was the day he would make his grand entrance, or try, begin the process. And so, you know, and I had, this is my disclaimer, so I had planned to work on the sermon on Saturday, and I had that to deal with because I had some other things going on in the week, and Sky was in there, and I was complaining to him. I said, buddy, this is going to be bad because I'm, like, on a lot of medication, and I'm in pain, and he said, well, are they going to fire you, Dad? And I said, no, I don't think so. He said, well, is the consistory going to call you down there and, you know, kind of give you one of those things where they talk to you? And I said, you mean like a lecture? And he goes, yeah. I said, I don't know, but I'll do the best I can. But needless to say, I'm under the influence of many things this morning, one of which I hope is the Holy Spirit. And I can't be responsible for the other ones. But our text for today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Verses 1 through 17, hear the word of the Lord this morning. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. And Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. And Nicodemus said to him, Well, how can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, You must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, Well, how can these things be? And Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, in approximately 2 months from now, an American institution will officially come to an end. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Well, nobody guessed. So, the answer is Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus. After 146 years, they will fold up their tents for the very last time. If you talk to the owners, they would tell you it has to do with declining ticket sales made worse by the decision to remove the elephants from the lineup. But it's reached a point where it's just no longer sustainable. And so because of this, you know, when they made this announcement in mid-January, people just began buying the tickets like crazy because in their minds, you know, this could be the last chance to see this iconic circus. And so ticket sales have really gone through the roof. And my in-laws were kind of feeling the same way, that this was a good opportunity or maybe the last opportunity. And so when the circus came to Greensboro, they offered to take Don and me and the kids to the circus. And so we agreed to go, and at first I wasn't really excited about it. You know, I've never been to the circus, and you know, to me it's sort of it's from a bygone era. You know, now that we have electricity, you know, how can they compete? You know, with television and movies and theme parks and all this stuff. And so I wasn't too excited to go. And even as the day approached on the Friday, I was just thinking of all the things I could do with my Friday night besides go to the circus, like stay at home and watch Netflix because we have an exciting life. And I was struggling with it, but I went, and it was absolutely amazing. Like, it was the most, I've never been that entertained before in my life. And I'm kind of an entertainment junkie, but it was just phenomenal. And I was trying to think, you know, what was it about the circus that made it so amazing? And what I've decided, it was just act after act after act of things that for me were just beyond the realm of possibility. And you know, we have limits in our minds of what human beings are capable of doing, and they just shattered those limits time after time after time. And I'm not talking about the things that maybe we associate with the circus. I'm not talking about bearded ladies. I mean, I've seen those before. I'm talking about like swallowing swords, you know, juggling like really big objects, you know, doing these ridiculous tricks on a high wire, like way off the ground with no nets. What else? They were forming the human pyramids, doing these acrobatics, and my favorite was the synchronized trampoline jumping, which doesn't sound that difficult, but it was just awesome. And I found myself wondering over and over again as I'm watching this thing, how can this be? Well, this is the same question that Nicodemus was asking when Jesus began to talk to him about this thing called the second birth, called the new birth, about being born again. You know, Nicodemus came to Jesus one night under the cover of darkness with some pretty firm beliefs about what was possible and what was not possible, particularly in terms of how God would bring about his kingdom on earth. And Nicodemus came on his own, but he came as a representative of a larger group of the Pharisees. And these were the teachers of the law. These were the most knowledgeable people in Israel about the law. And there were some things that they thought they knew that were just beyond dispute. You know, they knew that Jesus was a teacher that was sent from God because he could do some amazing things. They knew that Jesus was soon going to come to power, and they knew that they wanted to be beside him when that took place. And they were right about some things, but they were wrong about a lot of other things. And so Jesus begins to tell Nicodemus that if he really wants to be a part of this coming kingdom, he has to be born a second time. And Nicodemus didn't understand. For him, this was beyond the realm of possibility. Now, his first objection was on physiological grounds. So he asked Jesus, you know, how is it possible for a fully grown person to re-enter their mother's womb? And that's a pretty good question. It's hard to figure out how that would work. And then so Jesus explained, it's not a physical thing, it's a spiritual thing. You know, in order to be part of this coming kingdom, you have to experience a spiritual rebirth. But still, for Nicodemus, this was beyond the realm of possibility. Because as a Jew, he believed that the kingdom of God was reserved for his people. That there was nothing special that God had to do to make him fit for the kingdom. Gentiles, yes, but Jews, no. All this is to say that Nicodemus wasn't willing to move beyond what he considered within the realm of possibility. And because of that, because he wouldn't believe in what he thought was impossible, whether it be because of his pride or because of his theological issues there, he was missing out on the amazing thing that God wanted to do for him. And so a question I want us to think about this morning, are there any limitations that stand in our way of receiving all the amazing things that God wants to do in us and through us? You know, we don't approach Jesus with the same limitations imposed by Nicodemus. You know, we understand that this birth is a spiritual thing. We're okay with that. You know, we understand that we are sinners and we're dependent on this spiritual work, this act of God, in order to receive the gift of salvation. We get that too, but we still run the risk of missing out on the full extent of what Jesus is offering when he talks about this second birth. You know, when Jesus first introduced the idea in verse 3, he referred to it as being born from above. Now, the translation that I was reading from is the New Revised Standard Version, the NRSV. It was the same version on the screen, but if you were following along in your own Bibles while we were going through, whether it be the KJV, the NLT, the NIV, the ESV, the BLT, which is actually a sandwich, not a translation, or the NASB, whatever you happen to be reading, I'm willing to bet, instead of saying born from above, it said born again. And the same thing happens again in verse 7. And so which translation is right? Because those two ideas seem mutually exclusive. Well, obviously it would be mine, because I'm the pastor. So actually they both are. You know, that Greek word that is used there, anothen, means both again or anew, as well as from above. And that word again references the temporal aspect of the new birth, meaning that it's an event or it's in a moment that occurs in time. And that from above references the origin of the new birth, the source of the new birth, meaning it comes from above. It is a gift of the Spirit, a work of the Spirit of God. Now, because there's not a direct equivalent for anothen in English, translators feel they have to decide which of those two words they're going to use, because it just looks awkward to use two words in place of one, and most choose again. And then in your footnote, in your Bible, they'll have that second meaning of from above. But the unintended consequence of this is that it gives the reader the impression that the second meaning is somehow inferior. But if we really want to understand what the new birth is about, we have to give them both equal weight. So this is really what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus and what he says to us. We have to be born again. We have to experience this spiritual birth initially at one moment. And that occurs the moment we believe. You know, we confess our sins, we receive the forgiveness that is made available to us through Jesus. And we are also born from above. You know, we are given a new birth through the Holy Spirit. And so this life-giving, strengthening, convicting, transforming power of the Holy Spirit flows into our bodies like a wind from heaven. Both of those two things occur. And we struggle to believe that all of that is within the realm of possibility. We're okay with this idea of being born again. You know, we're okay with this idea of our sins being forgiven, but it's this part about being born from above that we struggle to go along with. Because we accept this idea that forgiveness by God, eternal life, that's within the realm of possibility. You know, we count on that. But we think that real change, you know, that real growth, that real transformation in this life is beyond the realm of possibility. You know, we think, I'm always going to struggle with this particular sin. You know, I am always going to be addicted to this certain behavior. I am always going to be bitter toward that person. You know, I'm never going to be able to forgive that person. I will always be judgmental. I'll always be critical. I'll always have the attitude problem. I'll never be committed to Christ as much as that person, and so on. And when the preacher talks about it and stands up in front and says, these things can change, we think he or she is crazy. You know, like Nicodemus, we think, how can these things be? See, when Jesus died on the cross, he rose from the dead and sent his Holy Spirit, he shattered the realm of possibility. You see, this new birth that he calls us to experience, to enter into the kingdom of heaven, this new birth changes everything. You know, through Jesus' death on the cross, we can be born both again and born from above. In a moment in time, we are forgiven of our sins and we gain the promise of eternity with God, but we also gain access to this life-giving, transforming, awe-inspiring power of the Holy Spirit that blows around us and in us and through us, that changes us, that animates us, that enlivens us, that makes us more like Jesus and enables us to be and to do great things for God and for His kingdom. And this wind never stops blowing. But sometimes we stop believing. You know, sometimes we stop expecting. You know, sometimes we stop anticipating. You know, we are born again, but we're barely breathing. You know, we shut ourselves off from our very source of life. And to look at us, you might think that the wind of God's Spirit is stagnant, that the wind of God's Spirit is no longer moving. Is that your story? You know, God has saved you. That's awesome, and we thank God for that. But what is God doing in your life right now? It's not always that moment that we're born again that we can get hung up on. You know, it could be that after we became a Christian, God moved in our life in a powerful way, but lately we've been kind of dormant. You know, in one of the churches that I pastored, not this church, I'll never be able to tell stories about this church because I hope to never leave, and so, unless I'm lying. There was a prominent member, and I wouldn't care if this guy was here because he has it coming, who would always share this story of how God called him to lead, you know, start this ministry in the church. He would tell the story. It's very dramatic, and he would tell the story over and over and over again. In the 3 years that I was there, I heard him tell it many, many times, and it was a great ministry that he had started. It had impacted many lives, but that moment he was referring to was becoming increasingly in the distant past. And it got to the point where every time he wanted to share that story, every time he shared that story, I would want to respond by saying, "That is so great what God did in your life 6 years ago, but what is He doing now?" You know, I think it's easy for a church that's over 250 years old to become fixated on memorable moments in our past, you know, to the point where we're not as concerned about whether or not God is moving in the present. You know, I remember attending a church's 25-year anniversary. I know it's laughable, but they were celebrating, big deal, 25 years. But as you might expect, stories were being told about the church's founding and how God had intervened in so many ways to bring that church into existence. You know, the purchasing of the land, the founding members, the construction of the building, and all of these things were appropriate for the occasion. But there seemed to me this inordinate focus on the past, looking backward on the good old days. What was missing was a celebration of what God was doing in the present. You know, new people being reached, new lives being changed, new ministries coming into existence, and a hopeful looking forward to what God was going to do in the future. You know, there's a well-known biblical author and scholar, and he tells his story about how he was in the process of moving from one house to the other, and somehow in that process he misplaced his birth certificate. And this bothered him a little bit because it's a legal document and sometimes you need it for certain things. But he wasn't really worried about it because it wasn't as if he needed that birth certificate to prove that he was alive. You know, the fact that his lungs moved and his heart was beating was all the proof he needed. And he said, you know, it's a value to remember our spiritual birth, the moment of our conversion. It's certainly worth celebrating when someone comes into the kingdom for the first time. But he went on to say that to direct all of our attention to that moment would be like framing our birth certificate and hanging it on the wall. And those things matter, but what really matters is whether or not we're alive today. Are we being born from above? Are we still in contact with the life-giving, life-sustaining power of the Holy Spirit? You know, nothing is beyond the realm of possibility when the Spirit is moving. When the Spirit is moving, are we listening? Would you pray with me? Our Father, we give you thanks this day for this second birth. We give you thanks that we've been born again and that we've been born from above. That through that spiritual rebirth, we are put in touch with your Holy Spirit. That your Holy Spirit bears witness with our Holy Spirit that we are a child of God. And that your Holy Spirit at work in our life enables us to do amazing things for you. It causes transformation to take place in our hearts and in our minds and makes us into new creations. But sometimes we cut ourselves off from that source of life. We remember that we were born again, but we forget that we're still being born from above. We're still being created into the people that you always meant for us to be. We're still in the process of being transformed. We're still being called out of our comfort zone to do new things for you. We're still being challenged. We're still being convicted. We're still being changed. Help us to remember that we are also born from above. That we are children of your kingdom. And that your Spirit makes us live in that kingdom, in that way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.